to Midnight Radio Network all across the USA, 800-288-9227. It is Ask the Law. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, here to answer your questions about CSA 2010, hours of service, any other regulatory items. Get them to us, 800-288-9227. It's courtesy of Old Blue USA, and it is Ask the Law for Monday, May 3rd, 2010. All the information, the answers to questions are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. Any statements made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. You can get your CMV questions answered anytime by going to askthelaw.org. Click on that big red button that says email, Ask the Law. Let's get back to a question that we had before the break. And, in fact, we'll go back to Johnny in Kansas. Johnny, thanks for holding on during the news break here. We had some questions about reflective tape. And Trooper Dial, what did you want to respond here to Johnny's concerns?
First off, Johnny, do you have the inspection report with you?
I believe I do. Not handy, but I do. Yes, I have it.
Yeah. Reason I was asking is part 39313 is where you find the reflective sheeting requirements, and it specific. And when you get to 39313 and you start reading it, it talks about trailers and semi trailers, and you read 39313. Nowhere in there does it talk about trucks or truck tractors. Now, it does make reference to the FMVSS standards, which are standards that are issued by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA. And they cover, if you've got an air conditioning system in the vehicle, any vehicle, it has to meet this standard. If you have a certain type of brake system, it has to meet this system. And in there is a 571.108 standard that deals with the conspicuousness of the tape. And in it, you're going to find where it talks about having reflective tape on the mud flaps. But here again, when you start reading 39313, nowhere does it talk about a truck or a truck tractor. And so that was why I was curious as to what section number they cited you on the as a warning on the inspection report.
As you were talking, I found it.
Okay.
Okay, it is showing 393.13 for your... Let's see. That'd be your left side, and then you got one for the right side.
All right.
It says B in parentheses and 2 in parentheses.
There is no B2.
All right, that would be a D. I'm sorry.
D as in dog.
D as in dog, correct.
Here again, 39313 deals with trailers and semi-trailers.
Not mud flaps?
Not mud flaps on the tractor.
It specifically says left rear of truck.
Yeah. So here again, they're talking about the mud flaps on the truck.
Mm-hmm.
39313 deals with trailers and semi-trailers. It doesn't talk, nowhere in there does it talk about a truck or a truck tractor in 39313.
Okay. That clarified that.
What I would do is when you get back to the company,
mm-hmm.
have them do a data queue.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about when I say a data queue?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have them do a data queue, and what you're going to do is you're going to show 393.13A, applicability, and it specifically talks about trailers and semi-trailers, and that's going to be your reason for the data queue.
All right. That's interesting. Does that clear it up for you, Johnny?
That
cleared that one up. Now, the other question.
Low air. What you have to do is you have to have a low air warning device that is visual.
Okay.
If you do not have one that is visual, it can be a buzzer, but you're still in violation because it, here again, we go back to these 571 standards. And 571.121 says it has to be a visual warning device. If you do not have a visual or a buzzer, then CVSA out of service criteria puts you out of service.
Okay, I had the buzzer.
Okay,
that kept you
from being placed out of service.
Okay.
But because you did not have the visual, then you were in violation of 390.93.51.
Okay. See, I was under the assumption that you had to have one or the other.
No.
Which I say now that you got to have the visual.
Right. When I went through the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulation program.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that they taught us on how to remember this is a truck driver can be deaf, but he can't be blind.
Right.
He's got to see the buzzer. Yeah. He doesn't have to hear it.
Okay.
He's got to see the light, but he doesn't have to hear the buzzer.
Right. Well, that clarified both my questions, and I appreciate very much your time and the service that you give us.
Hi, Johnny.
Have given us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. We do appreciate that. 800-288-9227. We'll go straight back to the phones here. If you want to get on board, that opens up a line, 800-288-9227. Let's talk to Andrew in Texas. Andrew, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Briefly, just to check and see how the CSA 2010 affected the Mexican trucking companies operating in the United States, if they are, in fact, operating now. How is that going to affect those companies?
What it's going to do is FMCSA will set up a database on the Mexican carriers as well as the drivers.
Anybody with authority to operate inside the United States.
Correct.
Canadian and Mexican.
Correct.
Companies. Okay.
And what will happen is once the information is compiled, if they determine that one of these carriers, whether they be from Canada or whether they be from Mexico, has a rating that is questionable, then they can sit there and make them bring their paperwork to the either the U.S. border with Mexico or the U.S. border with Canada and do a compliance review.
Okay. Is that, I guess, the question that I could already hear and anticipate from other drivers is that's based on the information that is gathered in the United States only?
Yes.
And does not include any information that might be gathered from the governments in Mexico or Canada?
Correct.
Okay. Because that would be my first question is...
Yeah, this CSA 2010 is United States only.
Right. Okay.
But carriers from other countries that operate in the United States, then they will be subject to CSA 2010.
Okay. Andrew, we do appreciate your question. Thank you so much. CVSA, the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance. Now, they're the ones that put on Road Check every year.
Yes.
Road Check 2010 coming up June 8th through the 10th.
Yes.
In that scenario, it is a cooperation of all three countries in North America, right?
Yes.
Is there, as a result of this, or CSA 2010, or anything leading up to it, do we have information from those other countries, or do we even pay attention to the information in those countries? Is there any interaction between the three nations here, the North American nations?
What they do is all three countries report to CVSA. They submit their data.
Right.
It's just like they will have someone in Mexico, there's someone in the United States, and there's someone in Canada that all of the data is sent to. Once they get that data, then it is forwarded on to CVSA.
Right.
And that's where they compile, and that's where they get the national standard for out-of-service drivers and out-of-service vehicles.
Okay. All right. So there is some sharing of information, at least based on this event.
Yes.
Okay. I just ask because I know that the anticipation would be, okay, if we have, let's say hypothetically, if there is, when you open the borders, the Mexican borders, and now, of course, we've had for years the Canadian borders open, and there's this all of this traffic coming and going, what concern would there be going forward? And I know that you're limited on being able to answer this question, but I know that the question will exist. What information could be shared between these three nations? If we have a database that's a national database, could there eventually be an international database going forward?
Yes.
So that information, at least based on this one event, is available. We'll get more to Roadcheck 2010 and your questions coming up. Charlie and more, stand by. We do have an open line. It is Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. You got a question about CSA 2010, about hours of service, reflective tape, anything else, any CMV questions. We'll take them from you right now, 800-288-9227. More in a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's a Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. If you want to get your question in, drivers, 800-288-9227, Gary and Eric.
And we want to remind you, it is Ask the Law for Monday, May 3rd, 2010. All the answers are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. Anyone that makes a comment here on this program other than Trooper Dial, anything that comes out of our mouths, consider to be opinions only. Just want to let you know that. Also, you can get your CMV questions answered anytime by going to askthelaw.org. Click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law. Let's get back to the phones, 800-288-9227.
First one thing, Eric is a fine human being, but that's only an opinion.
Yeah.
Right to you we go. Let's talk to...
I'm the best talk show host ever.
Best talk
that's
show
only
host
an opinion.
Ever. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
Good morning. Hi. I'm hoping you guys got a coffee pot going.
We certainly do.
Yeah.
Splash some out for me there, brother.
All right.
I got, you've already answered my first question about when in June it kicked off. The second question I've got is, where can you get some more information about this without having to pay a contractor like Keller? You understand what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you're talking about CSA 2010. There are two different things. The event in June is the CVSA, Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, and that's Roadcheck 2010. It will be June 8th through the 10th. But I'm assuming you're asking about CSA 2010?
Yeah.
Okay, that's already, in fact, the driver pre-screening database is already being built, and so that's kind of already rolling out here. There is a new database. In fact, I'm glad you asked that question.
While he's looking that up, Charlie, do you have access to the internet?
Brother, I have to get one of my grandkids to unscrew my phone.
Go.
Come on, give me a break.
If you will go to FMCSA's webpage.
Okay.
FMCSA.dot.gov.
Okay.
When you bring up the FMCSA webpage over on the far right hand side, you're going to see a link that says CSA 2010.
I'll give this to one of the grandkids, and they'll get it printed up for me.
Okay,
good.
You can click on it, and there's a way that you can sign up for emails that will be sent to you anytime their FMCSA has an update.
Gotcha.
Also, you can go through. There's a little PowerPoint presentation that FMCSA has put together that will show you what CSA 2010 is supposed to do.
Okay. I got one more question and a comment.
Sure.
Okay, the next question I got is about to use onboard recorders.
Yes, sir.
EOVRs, yes.
Okay, everything I'm finding out is that the entire operation has been sent back from the current administration back to re-review, and nobody's leaking any information about what it will be or what it could be. So we're, as an independent, it's kind of got a spook. What's it going to cost? What kind of restrictions? I could go down the list of questions.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what. If you'll hold on during the break, we'll try and get you maybe some clarification to the best of our ability here on the program. And the information, by the way, was exactly what Trooper Dial was going to give you on the CSA 2010 presentation, exactly what Trooper Dial said. So stand by for that. We'll get you more information on EOBRs and more coming up on Ask the Law.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Welcome and good morning. Drivers, get in. Ask your question at 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And we want to remind you, this is a service of Old Blue USA. We do it every single first Monday every month right here on the show. All the answers are up to date as of today, Monday, May 3rd, 2010. Can change without notice. Any comment made by anyone other than Trooper Dial is considered to be opinions only. You can ask your CMV questions right there at the website, askthelaw.org, anytime. Click on that big red button. It says email, Ask the Law. Let's get back to the question here. We'll go back to Charlie here.
Right.
Let you expand on this here, Trooper Dial.
Okay, Charlie, under the EOBRs, FMCSA currently has what we call an NPRM. Notice of Proposed Rulemaking. And in this Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, which, by the way, you have until, I believe, May the 30th to submit comments, what they're doing is if a trucking company has a compliance review. Now, here again, this will not take effect until this becomes a final rule. But once it becomes a final rule, if a trucking company has a compliance review and the motor carrier ends up with an unsatisfactory rating in the hours of service, then FMCSA will mandate every truck operating under this carrier's authority, they will be required to have EOBRs installed, and they will have to run them for 2 years.
That should help weed out some of the outlaws. But
as far as mandating EOBRs for every truck out on the road today, there is no such proposed rule being considered at this time.
Not at this time, but they did, when they issued this the announcement, yeah, they did say that later this year,
later,
they may consider expanding.
Right.
Yeah.
Here,
okay,
again, right now, there is no proposal.
Right.
Well, with the economy and the rates being what they are, it sounds to me like it's going to be another expense. It's going to be real hard to handle.
Well, any expense, obviously, at this point is extremely tough for the owner operators out there. Do we have any? Because is there any guideline right now as far as the equipment is concerned? The actual electronic onboard recorder, does it have to be GPS equipped? Under this NPRM, is there any guideline as to what it has to do?
Under this Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, which is going to be tied to the compliance review, it does have to be GPS-based.
Okay. All right.
And it has to record when the truck's moving, when the truck's stopped. There's some security issues in there to where each driver has to sign in and nobody else can sign in and use that driver's, so on and so forth.
Right. So, and I wish we had something for you, Charlie, as far as cost is concerned, I don't know. I haven't seen any numbers whatsoever.
I think a lot of it's going to be is, you know, once this notice of proposed rulemaking becomes a final rule,
mm-hmm.
and in it it has a list of what all the EOBR will have to record.
Right.
Then they'll sit there, and there will be manufacturers out there that currently have similar systems.
Right. They'll become standardized.
They will become standardized now, because you would have company A, yeah, you know, we've got one, and it does this and this and this and this, and it's got the bells and the whistles. You got company B over here. Well, we got one that's got a few more bells and whistles.
But all of them are going to have to meet a federal standard.
Right. All of them will have to meet a federal standard. And then if a company wants to buy the extra bells and the whistles, they can.
Yeah.
But if they're told you've got to put them on, most companies are going to buy what they have to do to comply to stay in business.
Once this rule goes into effect... once it becomes a rule, when does it go into effect? Is it next year? Is it 2011, 2012?
Well, right now, they haven't, I believe when I read the NPRM, they had until, I believe, May the 30th to submit comments.
Okay.
Once they, get all the comments in, then they go through the review process. That review process can take anywhere from 90 to 180 days.
Mm.
Then then they have to send it to different agencies within FMCSA to put their blessing on it. And then once it does that, then it becomes a final rule.
Yeah. And do we know as far as the effectiveness of that rule? Would it be immediate? Would it give some of these carriers time to essentially equip the trucks? Do we know?
Well, here again, it's whether or not we don't know what the proposed effective date will be.
Right.
I would say something like this, they could make it almost immediately effective.
Okay. Right.
Because it's going to be required upon the motor carrier going through a compliance review.
Mm-hmm.
So with this being there, okay, if you have a compliance review done and you're unsat, then they're going to be required to have them. So it's not like every carrier out there.
Right. Is there an incentive under the old proposal that was from the former administration? There was an incentive for voluntarily putting EOBR. Is there one in this NPR? Yeah.
I believe they carried that same voluntary compliance over into it.
In fact, I recall that they did, and the consideration that the carriers would receive in return is that certain documents would not be required
right.
to be kept.
Correct.
Including receipts for tolls and such.
Right. They limited the actual number of documents the carrier was going to be required to keep.
Yeah.
Another bone that they threw was if one of the motor carriers that had voluntarily installed the EOBRs went through a compliance review and the compliance review showed them to be unsatisfactory in the hours of service, before they wrapped up shop and left, they would do another sampling to see whether or not they just happened to pick a bad sample.
Right, yeah.
So, in other words, it gave them two chances to get a satisfactory rating in the hours of service.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get back to Ask the Law in just a moment, so stand by. If you want to get on board, Jason, Don, and Moore are holding on. And if you want to get through, 800-288-9227.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. It's Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
And we are here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. Ask the Law for Monday, May 3rd, 2010. All the information is up to date, can change without notice. Anyone that makes a comment here, we're just opinionators.
I'm the opinionator. I appreciate these good Americans here and ask the law.
And all the comments made are, other than Trooper Dial, are considered to be opinions only. If you'll go to askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org, click on that big red button, and that includes anybody who called in and was not able to get on the air tonight for one reason or another. We ran short on time, or I was just yapping too much. Then make sure you go to askthelaw.org, click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law. I do believe we have time for one more question. Gary, let's go to the phones.
Go to Don and I-35. Don, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hi.
Morning, Don.
We got a notice with our payroll here a few weeks back, said that the FMCA was going to be banning texting, which I totally agree with, but also it said something about they were going to be banning the use of laptops. Just exactly how is that going to, or how does that read as far as the law? Because, like in my case, I have no internet connection.
Right.
But I do run my Copilot 11 GPS system on it.
Right, yeah.
And if that is going to be the case, that they're going to totally ban the use of the laptop, why are they not also going after these companies that are using active Qualcomms while the truck is in motion?
Okay, and this is the question coming up surrounding a pending rule on cell phone use, and the cell phone use rule, we believe, or some anticipate, may be expanded to other electronic devices. First of all, under the texting ban, is that a Trooper Dial, does that particular ban right now cover laptops?
No.
Okay.
No.
That one right now is not into effect. What we're waiting on, what we're anticipating, is the cell phone ban is what they're calling it, but we believe, or some anticipate, that it might be expanded to other electronic devices. The bottom line is we don't know because we haven't seen
right.
it yet.
Right.
So we don't know if that will include what that will include, what electronic devices will be affected by this, right, Trooper Dial?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Right now, like I say, right now, the texting ban that went into place applies to the use of a cell phone for texting, sending and receiving, or actually reading or sending messages out.
Hmm.
There is.
I totally agree with that one.
Right.
There are some additional comments that have been made that there may be another, what we call notice of proposed rulemaking, that may be coming out later this year that will include any handheld device,
right,
such as a cell phone.
Yeah.
And that there is some talk that it may also include other devices.
Right, right.
But we don't know what those devices are.
Yeah, we have no idea. Where this is right now is the White House essentially sent it on to the DOT.
Right.
Secretary Ray LaHood has it on his desk, but that's the last we heard. There is no, not even an NPRM issued on this right now. So we don't even know. We have no idea what devices. They keep talking cell phone, but we don't know what other handheld electronic devices or laptops or Qualcomm or anything else that might be included here. That is a big question mark, Don, and we thank you for your call. But at the end of the day, there's just nothing issued yet.
Right.
And when it is, and we're watching everybody, in fact, you can bet the electronic companies are watching this very closely. In fact, some of them told me so at the Mid-America show, that we are watching this very closely because we'd like to know if our particular device is going to be affected. But
right.
We don't know as of yet. We will let you know here on Ask the Law or on the show anytime that we hear from Secretary LaHood's office on a notice of proposed rulemaking. All right, lots of great stuff this morning. Thank you for your calls. Again, go to askthelaw.org. Click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law. You can do that anytime, and they'll get back to you with an answer as soon as possible. Trooper Dial, as always, thank you so much for your service.
Glad to be here.
We do appreciate it. It's the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227.